return today to the series that I started a few weeks ago about building a culture of honour. And you'll recall that this is a series based on the book by Danny Silk called A Culture of Honour. And I'd encourage people to get a hold of a copy and have a read of it, because I can't tell you everything that's in the book. We'd be here until Christmas, and I'm going overseas, so you'd have to read it, some of it, for yourself. So, now, one of the key thoughts was that a life flows through honour. We've also noted that the Bible is clear in directing us to be devoted to one another and honour one another above yourselves. The heart of a culture of honour is the conviction that Jesus modelled the Christian life for us. Maintaining this lifestyle is totally dependent on living out our true identities as sons and daughters of God. Now, a really important value in this is the value of safety and freedom, or freedom and safety. We've also talked about how shame can control us. The shame we carry can make us forget who we really are. It tries to keep us trapped in our mistakes by convincing us that there is nothing we can do, that we are powerless, preventing us from being the person God has created us to be. Shame, we said, is removed through love. Love that provides a safe place for us to journey our issues. Such a place also honours who we are and gives us the freedom to re-engage with the amazing person God has made us to be. Now, last time, which was a couple of weeks or so ago, we explored something of the identity, the gifts and abilities God has placed within us. We also said that God's goal for us, His church, is to invade the community with the kingdom of heaven. The way this is to happen is by the cooperation between each member of His church, each person operating out of their God-given calling and identity. Now, last Sunday evening at the combined church service, each church was given an opportunity to speak and to sing a song or lead a song. And it was all around the theme, Jesus, the bread of life, and spoke to the topic of food. I took up this theme with our thinking of a culture of honour, and spoke about the meeting Jesus had with his disciples on the beach after the resurrection. Now, what is especially noteworthy in this story is the way Jesus restores Peter. Peter, the disciple of Jesus, was being held by shame. He had failed Jesus and he knew it. At Jesus' trial, Peter had denied knowing him, not once, but three times. Peter would have carried this for the rest of his life, and it could well have destroyed him. Jesus had to break through this and love him back to life. We know the story. We find it in John 21. And it happens over food. Breakfast, actually. Peter had encouraged the others to go fishing and escape into the known and the safe. He could have been thinking, I'm a failure. I'll go back to what I know. But he wasn't very successful at that either, because they caught no fish. But Jesus meets the team down at the beach and he gives them breakfast, a meal added to by the abundance of fish caught when Jesus told them where to fish. Then he takes Peter aside and he gently opens Peter's heart and loves him. Peter had to face his words, and each time that Jesus asked him, do you love me? And Jesus did it three times. He was confronted with his shame, but was so cradled, and this is so fundamental for us. This is what we need to aim for. Peter was so cradled in the love that Jesus had for him that he comes away anointed, appointed, and called for leadership. He no longer owned the shame, and he took up the name Jesus had given him, Peter, the rock. The leader that was so needed and so necessary in those early days of the new community of disciples. We too don't need to carry the shame of our past. Jesus would speak to you and rename you. He calls you and affirms your identity as his son or daughter. He affirms your uniqueness and giftedness. In fact, he honors you for who you are. Now, for such honor to exist, there needs to be a better understanding of freedom. Now, freedom is a slippery beast. When God created us, he gave us a free will. And that set up a very big problem. To quote C.S. Lewis, if a thing is free to be good, it is also free to be bad. Why on earth did God make a mistake like that? However, it wasn't a mistake. Because, says Lewis, while this freedom makes evil possible, it is also the only thing that makes love or goodness or joy possible and worth having. And so doing, God took a risk, and apparently he thought it was worth it. Danny Silk says, one of the most vital core values for creating a safe place where people can be free is honor. Honor is the relational tool that protects the value that people have for those who are different. Now, we naturally shy away from people who are different. We struggle with those who think or look or behave differently to us. When people are different, we often try to shut them out or shut them down or squeeze them out, or at the very least try to control them. And this will lead to conflict. God didn't make us all the same for a very good reason. So that we would learn to celebrate difference and value those who are not the same as ourselves. And when we do, our life takes on the brilliance and diversity of God's world. Wouldn't life be boring, really boring, if everything looked the same? I mean, imagine if everything looked the same as what looked at you in the mirror this morning. As much as what you saw is loved by God and is worthy of honor, and he delights in. Wouldn't food be boring if it all tasted the same? I had a friend who had bakery in his background, and he loved food. And as his clock ticked on towards its latter end of creative living, he says, I can't taste my food anymore. It all tastes the same. He said, life's not worth living anymore. I think we would begin to think the same. Danny Silk says, as you can see, the culture of honor both facilitates a safe place and in turn creates a place of great conflict. The question is whether we will learn to use honor to navigate through the conflict when it arises. Conflict is not inherently evil. As a matter of fact, when conflict goes away, life most likely left with it. Sometimes we hope that peace means the absence of conflict. But true peace is always the result of victory. I cannot think of a victory that did not first begin with a struggle. And let me just add to this that it's not the victory of having someone beaten down, but it's the victory of learning to know yourself, to be true to yourself, and to extend the genuine hand that honors and treasures the other as a person in their own right. See, that's what Jesus did on the cross, wasn't it? There on the cross, he stretched out his arms to embrace everything, even the worst, so that we would know life, peace and restoration, forgiveness and hope. Part of God's genius in creating difference was so that we would need each other. And this is very true in the church community. Now, the last time we talked about the pattern of the fivefold ministry gifts found in Ephesians, apostles, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher. And each of us, we may not want to hear this too much, or we may find it difficult to accept, but it is true. Each of us will be so gifted as to belong to at least one of these ministry groups. Honor is the glue that keeps each of these working parts of ministry together in partnership. And freedom is the path that allows us to be ourselves and to make those choices that best serve those about us. Honor has to do with recognizing the value of people. We can honor others in two ways. Firstly, by what we say when we praise and compliment and acknowledge them. Secondly, by our attitudes, our respect and appreciation. Our attitude should go before any word we may say. We honor people when we encourage them in the good things that they do. This means allowing people to use their natural abilities, acquired skills, and spiritual gifts. To honor others is to make them feel valued and that they are the center of our attention, not ourselves. The Bible urges us to humbly consider others better than ourselves and has already been mentioned, to honor one another above yourselves. So there are two things at work here. Honor, that acknowledges and values a person, and then freedom. Freedom to grow and to be our true selves while extending that freedom to allow others to be authentically who God created them to be. And then there is a third word that needs to be added to this mix. Responsibility. Freedom cannot exist without taking responsibility for our choices and for our actions. I know that's a bit mythological these days, but unfortunately, even if regardless of the case, that is the truth. We must take responsibility for our choices and actions and remember that stuff happens. Now, I want to conclude by telling a story from Danny Silk's book. It's about his daughter, Brittany, who at 14 had a completely different idea at what getting the dishes meant than his wife, Cherie. He said, "I often heard a conversation and it sounded something like this. Brit, time to do the dishes." "I will in just a minute." Then 20 minutes would turn, and 1 minute would turn to 20 minutes, and Cherie would fire off another one. "Brit, it's time to get the dishes done." Brit would volley back, "I'm doing my homework like you said." Or, "I'm on the phone and I'll be done in a minute. I'll be down in a minute." This was part of our evening ritual for several months. Numerous times my wife would wake up to dirty dishes in the morning, and she really doesn't want to wake up to dirty dishes. Finally it happened. Brit went to bed late on a Friday night and forgot the dishes. Saturday morning, she and Cherie had a little conversation, which Danny says, "I heard at the other end of the house." Once finished, Cherie came to tell me what had happened. She didn't need to, but she did. "When Cherie and I came looking for Brit," he said, "we discovered that, unannounced, she and her friend Rebecca had gone down the street." Cherie looked at me and fire in her eyes and said, "What are you going to do?" "Me," I replied, trying to hide a smile. "Yes, what are you going to do with your daughter?" Isn't it interesting how these things change? "You want me to deal with the situation. Is that what you're saying?" "Yes." So I ran and did the dishes. Now, doing the dishes at our house involved moving them from the sink into the dishwasher. And that is what I did. It took me 6 minutes. When Brittany and Rebecca came back, she asked, "Can I go to the mall with Rebecca and her mum?" Cherie was biting the side of her hand, a sign that I was to handle it. I said, "Brittany, sweetie, I did the dishes for you." "Dad, that's not fair. I was going to do them, Brit began to do a little jumps, intended to communicate that she did not like what was going to happen. Rebecca looked confused. Finally she asked, "Brit, are you in trouble? How do you even know you're in trouble? Nobody's even yelling." Brittany said, "He's going to trade chores with me." "Sweetie, which chore would you like to trade me? Would you like to do the trash shed or the chicken coop?" "Well, can I look?" "Of course you can. Of course you can choose which one you're going to do. And thus I empowered my child. I wanted her to feel powerful around me. Out she went. Now, for those who might not know, the trash shed is an enclosed area so that the dogs, the cats and the raccoons don't get in them. North America. Brit opened the door. 10 million flies came flying out around her face. Gross. Brittany spat out a fly, rolled her eyes, then headed for the chicken pen. By now, she is pretty mad. She kicked at the chickens, stupid chickens. She was completely grossed out by the stench. Then she came into the house and said to me, "Chicken pen." "Awesome, Brit. Thank you." "I was excited," says Danny. "I wouldn't have to do that chore." "Now, would you like to do that today or tomorrow after church?" "I can do it tomorrow? Really? Can I go to the mall today with Rebecca?" "Sure, if you want." "I can? Oh, Daddy, thank you, thank you." Now, you might be thinking, what? You let the transgressor go? You let the sinner escape and due punishment she had coming? Your child got to have freedom and privilege without first experiencing suffering. That teaches a lesson. How will this child ever learn her lesson? "Hang on," says Danny. "The story isn't over." The next morning we went to church, and by the time we got back it was pouring with rain. Why? Because Jesus loves me. And Brittany was trying to be invisible. I said to her, "Hey Britt, sweetie, would you like to wear my rubber boots or those pretty little slippers you have on there?" "Your rubber boots." "Do you want to wear my rain jacket or that pretty sweater you have on?" "Your rain jacket." "Do you want the pitchfork or the shovel?" "I'll probably need both." Off she went. 1, 2, 3 hours later, she came in, dragging the shovel and the pitchfork. She had straw hanging off her sopped head, and I met her at the back door. She said, "I'm done." "Awesome. Thank you very much." "Whatever." Off she went to take a shower. Now, later that week, I heard Cherie say, "Brittany, get those dishes done." Then I heard Brittany say, I will in just a minute." So I got up and said, "Britt, I've got them for you." And just as I got off the couch, she came flying through the house yelling, "You get away from my dishes." I smiled and said, "Hey, I'm just trying to be helpful, but if you ever need me to do your work for you, I'm your man." Danny concludes by saying, "People can be led into freedom in such a way that personal responsibility rises to the surface. It requires us to trust people. But it never ceases to amaze me that when we trust people to rise up and see the wisdom in their choices, then we will see a greater person in our relationships. People want to be trusted, and they want to be free." Father God, we thank you that you so love, honor, cherish, trust us. Lord, help us to love and honor and trust and respect, to provide a safe place, to give room for freedom. And the choices that we make and the relationships we have. And help us as we do our part in this great mix to be willing to step up and step out. To take responsibility for the giftedness that you have given me, given to each one of us. To risk hearing your voice and speaking it. To risk being a living witness to you in our homes, our workplaces. And to honor the people to whom we extend our love, care and concern. But Lord, in this place there would be a culture of honor. That in this place we would be as one body mixed with the great diversity of people and giftedness that we are. And then in our lives we would celebrate the unity that we have in Christ, who for us died and rose again, that we might be partakers in the inheritance that you have so wonderfully handed to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.